My dog has fleas. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dreams. Oh, Godfrey, come home. Good night, Irene. Have you been wondering what that song was all about? One of our listeners asked us that question, and you'll get the answer in the key of E-flat today on...
Talk Back, a new program transcribed and presented by the American Broadcasting Company, starring...
Hi there, this is Happy Felton.
And the other star of the show is...
You, every one of you, all over the country. You see, in case you haven't heard the show before, Talk Back is here just for you. We want you to send us letters. Write the letters to anyone at all about any subject, a gripe, a question, a compliment. And we try and get the answers for you dictated into our portable recorder. The idea is to put you in touch with anyone at all, big shot, politician, anybody. Just one thing. The address for your letters is Happy Felton, Post Office Box 40, Grand Central Station, New York City. That's Happy Felton, Post Office Box 40, Grand Central Station, New York City. What are the letters about? About everything. For instance, let me read you the one that brought on that Goodnight Irene stuff. It's from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Dear Happy Felton, for the past few weeks, Goodnight Irene has been quite popular. I really do think that it is a cute, but maybe I'm dumb, for I just can't understand the words. Well, sometimes I wonder if it is made up from maybe two different songs in the writer's mind. What do you think? I would be very grateful if someone explained it to me. Yours truly, Miss Donna Gillian. Well, Donna, I see that your family run the Nomad Motor Lodge down there. It looks very nice from the pictures. Anywho, what I think isn't important. So, first we tried to get a hold of Hughie Ledbetter, who wrote it. He died a few years ago, so we got Mr. Pete Cameron, who has had a lot to do with the tune's current popularity. Talk back, Pete Cameron, and tell us what Hughie Ledbetter had in mind, if anything.
Hughie Ledbetter, or better known as Leadbelly, made all his appearances. Would start off by telling the story of this girl, Irene, who he knew, and he would do it in a narrative quality, saying he ran into Irene, this lovely girl, and he liked her very much. And at one point, he asked her if she'd marry him, and he said, she replied, well, you better see my mother. So he went to see her mother, and as he told the story, that the girl was too young, and there was the woman's only child, and she certainly didn't want to lose her daughter. So he was turned down. He felt real bad about it. And he said to her, or he composed this little verse.
Well, Pete, this is the verse that Donna wondered about. Now, let me sing it for you. Sort of put you in the mood, Pete.
Sure.
Sometimes I live in the country. Sometimes I live in the town. Sometimes I have a great notion to jump in the river and drown.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, when he was proposing to this girl, Irene, she said she had been living in the country and she wanted a city man. So this was his answer to her, saying that sometimes I live in the country, because he was there, and sometimes I live in town. And he said, sometimes I get a great notion to jump into the river and drown, because he was lying to her. He had never been... And within the 25 miles of any city. And in order to win the girl over, he sort of composed this little story. He tells the story. He got married to the girl, and they were arguing constantly. And after one of these fights, he just said, last Saturday I got married, and me and my wife settled down. Now, me and my wife apart. He walked out of the house, and he went downtown to a local... saloon or a style like that, and felt unhappy about it, that they weren't getting along, and this is where the verse came in.
You mean the verse that goes, Irene, good night, Irene, good night, Irene. Well, you know, now Donna and me both want to know, what does that mean?
Well, this is the strange thing about the folk songs, that quite often the verses and the chorus have no relation to each other, except in some sort of a vague, abstract manner, where they tie a story together, or a particular feeling that he may have. And with this kind of crude tale, they always add a little touch of beauty to... this is a strange paradox that takes place in many folk tunes.
Paradox isn't the word for it. I still don't get it, Pete. Is he actually saying goodnight to her?
Well, not really saying goodnight. He's sort of just working out of his her life constantly in terms of feeling that they can't get along. And kind of feeling, well, he's walking out, he's sort of angry, but he'll be back.
Well, frankly, when I hear the song, I've got a kind of a feeling that I'm walking out, but I don't know whether I'll be back or not. I'm sorry, Pete. I don't really believe this song is my cup of tea.
Well, I tell you, I've heard it so often now that it becomes a little weary hearing it. And yet, people love singing in the bathroom, and, well, this is the same kind of song that sort of just picks you up and you go along with it.
Okay, I'll try it in the bathtub. Have you got any parting thoughts for Donna Gillian?
I noticed, Donna, by your letter that your parents have the Nomad Motor Lodge at Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which feature new air foam mattresses. Well, Goodnight Irene would be a perfect theme to be used at the Nomad Motor Lodge. Sincerely yours, Pete Cameron.
A very practical suggestion, and thank you, Pete Cameron. Well, thanks for your letter, Donna. And we're sending you a really lovely strand of Laguna simulated pearls that come in a handsome gold kid carrying case. With Irene snoring away in the corner, well, let's dip into the Box 40 mailbag from Grand Central Station. Take a look at this letter from Brownsville, Texas. Dear Happy Felton, here I am with a perfectly good college degree in zoology. Yet the only thing I seem qualified to do is to teach swimming. I would love, and I realize I'm shooting for the moon, to be a swimming instructor aboard an ocean liner. I feel I am well qualified for such a job, and I can supply references. Most of all, I can guarantee an undying enthusiasm for the work. If there's a personnel department of a steamship company you can send this letter to, I should like to have someone in that department talk back. Very truly yours, Miss Jean Hawkins. Ah, tropical moonlit deck, soft music in the background, Felton playing the ukulele, and a swimming lesson. That's for me. Anyway, we sent Jane's letter over to the Moore McCormick Steamship Lines, who run a lot of cruises, and put it right in the hands of the Director of Entertainment and Cruise Staffs. She's been on 71 cruises herself, so talk back, Eleanor Britton.
Well, Jane Hawkins, to answer your letter, I must say that you are reaching for the moon. You're right. It's like finding a needle in a haystack to find a position on a ship for a lady. There are very few of them, and the ones that there are go to specialized people, such as nurses, hairdressers, stewardesses, and so forth. Of course, our line, we carry a few more because we are fully equipped for entertainment. We have a cruise every 2 weeks that goes out with a band, girl singer, boy singer, magician, and a dance team. So in that way, we do have a little more entertainment than the average ship and more jobs for girls. But as a swimming instructor, I think that would be a very difficult position to find on any ship, because usually the gym instructor has a part-time job teaching swimming as well as being a masseur and so forth, and there really isn't enough demand on board ship for swimming lessons to carry a girl around trip 39 days, 38 days, for instance. Well, besides the jobs that I've mentioned, Moore McCormick Line also carries a social directress on each one of our ships. And she, of course, helps the cruise director in all of his duties, entertaining the people and organizing the games and so forth. And they also carry a shopkeeper, a girl who is in charge of the novelty shop on board. Of course, she has to know a lot about merchandising. These girls, naturally, are always in their middle 20s, at least. Now, down in the office of Moore McCormick, where I stand by all day answering letters like this, like yours, I usually try to give the girls some sort of advice, and my advice to you would be to contact some of the resort hotels, because there are lots of openings from time to time for girl swimming instructors and swimming pool attendants in resorts. And I think if you write to Bermuda and places like that, you're very apt to get something along that line, and it's almost as nice as being on shipboard, but of course not quite. I suppose, Jane, you think it sounds terribly romantic to be working on board a ship. Well, as a passenger aboard a ship, there is nothing more conducive to romance than that tropical moon out on the deck. But if you're working on board ship, it's all work and no play until you get into port. So for 38 days, you really keep your nose pretty much to the grind. And you don't have any fun until you get back home, as a rule.
And when you do get home, well, that's another question. But I hope we answered your letter all right, Jane Hawkins. Just in case, we're sending you a handsome LeCoultre desk clock finished in polished rose bronze. LeCoultre is a division of the Longines Whitnour Watch Company, you know. And you can take that clock traveling with you. What's this? A letter from me? about me, too. It's from Mrs. C.R. Stewart of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I can't read a letter to myself, so we've got a nice young lady to read Mrs. Stewart's letter for her. This isn't Mrs. Stewart reading it, mind you, but here is what she said.
Dear Happy, congratulations on your new program, Talk Back. I hope everyone enjoys it as much as I do. My question is directly to you, Happy. Are you the one and same Happy Felton that a few years back had an orchestra? Your theme song being, I'm happy and hope you're happy too? If so, why aren't you still carrying on? Or is that a too personal question? Are you still the same big, fat, jolly fellow you used to be? On your new show, you sound so much more dignified, sort of. Understand, I think you're just great on Talk Back. But I thought you were just as great, if that was you, with your orchestra. Was it you? And did you ever play Enid, Oklahoma? Sincerely, Mrs. C.R. Stewart.
Yep, Mrs. Stewart, it's the same guy. Me. Let me look at that letter. Aren't you still carrying on, or is this too personal a question? Well, now, Mrs. Stewart, I've never been the type of fellow who carried on, but I'm sorry if I sound dignified. I sure don't feel it. I never was much on dignity business. An old friend of mine always used to say the most dignified thing in the world was a corpse. Well, anyway, Mrs. C.H. Stewart, or may I call you C.H., thanks for the kind words about the band. Those were great days. It's broken up now, but most of the boys seem to be getting by. Let's see, there was Tony Martin who was with me then. He played saxophone. Bob Taylor, clarinet and saxophone. Oh, a bunch of fellas you've heard of playing with me back in the old days. But like I say, they've drifted into other lines of work, mostly. Me, too. I talk instead of singing now. I think I proved that earlier in the show today. But thanks a lot for your letter. Nice to think that people still remember you. We're going to send you a 5-piece set of that swell Hammercraft Club aluminum. The waterless cooking utensils in memory of the old days. And as for playing Enid, Oklahoma. But let me ask you a question. Did you ever go to a dance at the Mealbach Hotel in Kansas City and take off your slippers and dance in your stocking feet? Seems to me I remember... No, that couldn't have been you, could it? Mrs. Stewart and I will work that one out ourselves later. If there's anything you'd like to work out with me, don't forget that address. Remember, I'm your mailman. I deliver the mail you write to anybody about anything. Don't write me letters. Write them to somebody else with a gripe or something, then send them to me. Happy Felton, P.O. Box 40, Grand Central Station, New York City. I'll try and get the answers for you. And tomorrow we've got an answer from a news photographer, from a lady with a complaint about the pictures they're always taking. A real humdinger of a yarn from one of the top radio serial drama writers, Ruth Borden, for a listener who has gotten a little miffed about Helen Trent. Well, you'll get it all, same time, same place, when you tune in for Talk Back.
Thank you, Happy. Remember, the address for your letters is Happy Felton, Post Office Box 40, Grand Central Station, New York City. Happy will try and get answers on your letters dictated into his recording machine by the person you write to. Talk Back is produced by Gordon Auchincloss, edited by Pierre Versput, and transcribed in New York. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.